Study tonight, the title of this message is Why Democracies Fail. I know that's a shocker. Why democracies fail. As a matter of fact, why communism fails and why socialism fails, why totalitarian governments fail, why we have princes and paupers and kings, and why have all of these systems failed? Why have they failed? But especially tonight, why do democracies fail? And that's what we're all about. This title of this message is Democracy. Democracy. I know you've been told that the letter to the church of Laodicea, that the church was lukewarm. The church was lukewarm. But Laodicea does not mean lukewarm. It literally means democracy. It means people justice. We've always heard justice for the people, but justice by the people, and justice of the people. There's a problem with that. There is a problem with it. People are sinners. People are sinners. Now let's look at this church, this democratic church. Now I know that of all churches, only Baptist churches are democracies. We all have either a pastor or elders or deacons or somebody is running the church. True Baptist churches are democracies. But why does that fail? Now the Lord called out a church at the seashores of Galilee. And he did set up a democracy. He called out an ecclesia. The word ecclesia means one called out, and it goes back to ancient times in Greece where every nation that they conquered, they would set up an ecclesia in that nation, country, town, village, district, whatever. And the ecclesia was elected by the people, of the people, and for the people. And in that great big nation, Greece, that local ecclesia would elect officers. They would collect taxes. They would set up a draft system. But they would do it under a great umbrella of the Roman or the Greek Empire. And in America, from one end of America, what we might call North America, the nations, the Indian nations, were pure democracies. You get down in the Meso and South America, and we have hierarchies there where we have kings. And they ran like pharaohs. By the way, the name Pharaoh means the man in the big house. The big shots. All these systems fail. Now, the American Indian people was probably the greatest democracies and socialist structures that ever have been. They lived that way for thousands of years in these democracies. Everybody voted. The women voted. People were elected as a chief. They weren't born to it, as you might hear in some of the Western movies. They weren't princes and princesses. A chief was somebody that earned that title. And he was only a chief when he remained faithful to his people in a place of honor. Let's go to Revelation, the third chapter, and verse number 14. Now we know that every one of these angels, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea, this church is ecclesia in Laodicea. Laodicea means Laos, people. And it means justice, in other words, a democracy. This church was a democracy. But the rules were made up by the people. True Baptist churches didn't make up rules. We have penalties and rules of order and all of those things, but that's how you carry on this little democracy. Real Baptist churches had no heads except Christ. The pastor was a servant, not the leader, not the big shot, not the chief, so to speak. He was a servant of the people. A servant of the people. He said to the pastor, or the angel, the messenger of the church of Laodicea, you write this. You write these things. Now here we go with something that's very unusual. We have titles. Titles. That not always are titles. We have, you say this, the Amen. The Amen. Amen come from Persian, in the Hebrew, in the Greek, in the English. And it means to prop up or to hold up. The Amen is usually a particle of affirmation. But right now, here is a descriptive noun. The Amen. The Amen. The witness. The Amen. The witness. The faithful one. And the true one. Faithful there is pistos. Ho martis. Ho pistos. Kai alithinos. True. That word true. That's a beautiful word. Now, if you've looked at me when I'm trying to do these videos, I try to get where you can see my face and you can see the chart behind me and you can see what we're doing in the room. It takes a lot of light to do that. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lights in this room, lighting the room up. It takes a lot of light. The word alethinos means no shadow. No shadow. There aren't anybody lurking in the shadows. There is nothing cryptic. There is nothing in the dark. No shadows. Let's go back. The Amen. The true one. The witness. The God of truth. The faithful God of truth, and the alethinos, no shadow. Satan is called the God of darkness. We have the God of light. Jesus said, I am the light. He that cometh to me cometh unto the light and the truth. He said, I am the light, I am the truth. I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. The true, no shadows. And then it says HRK here. Now, it says the beginning of the creation. But that's not what this word really means. This word RK here. In John, it says NRK, singular. And that means the one in the absolute beginning when nothing else was in eternity past. Right here, though, it means the administrator. It means the head. It means the originator. The creator. The source of all things. In Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Verse number 13 is where we're going to begin. For he delivered us from the domain of what? Of darkness. The shadowy place. And transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, the head, the originator, the creator of all creation. For by him, in him, and for him, all things were created, both in heavens and upon the earth, visible and invisible, whether their thrones, dominions, or rulers, or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things are held together. He is the head, the originator, the creator, the administrator of the body, the church. And he is the head, it says beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness of the Godhead to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things upon the earth or things in heaven, and all through you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged, dominated by evil deeds. Yes, he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body. God became flesh. Kai Hologos Sarx Agenito. The Word, the Jehovah, fleshy became, dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18 now says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out. And that's exactly what Paul is writing here in the book of Galatians, and John is writing again in the book of Revelation. Beautiful. Let us go on to Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. And the 65th chapter. Isaiah chapter 65. Trying to find it in this worn out Bible. Isaiah 65 and verse number 16. Because he who is blessed in the earth shall be blessed of God, the God of truth. That's exactly what it's talking about in the book of Revelation and the book of Colossians. The God in whom dwells truth, aletheia. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by God of truth, the God of truth, no shadows. Because the former troubles are forgotten, because they're hidden from my sight. Back to the book of Revelation. Why do democracies fail? Why do democracies fail? Because of people. Because of people. Democracies fail because of people. Yet look in John, the first chapter, for a moment. John chapter 1. He was in the beginning, verse 2, with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of all men. And light shines in darkness, but the darkness does not latch on to it, does not grab a hold, will not receive it. The darkness will not receive it. People who are in darkness do not want the Word of God. They don't want to hear it. People try to console themselves in atheism and agnosticism. But they are doing things their own way, democracy. The first democracy in America, the first religious democracy in America, was in Rhode Island. Dr. John Clark and Roger Williams founded two different churches there, one in 1638, John White, and 1639, Roger Williams became a member of that church. That's the first place in the in the American colonies that you could be an atheist. You could be a Catholic. You could be a Congregationalist. You could be an Anglican or a Catholic. Those colonies, wherever you lived in whatever colony, they were all state churches in those colonies. All state churches, the church and the state were one. And you paid your taxes to the church. And the church paid the pastor. And those were not democracies. But the democratic form, an idea, was set forth by Roger Williams and Dr. John Clark. Now let's look on a little further. The Lord is very upset. He doesn't have anything good to say about this church at all. And let's look at it, because this is the church age we live in. This letter is to us. This church goes from 1812 all the way to the present tense time that we live in. And that church, in this church age, we are here toward the end of this church age. This is the last letter, the last message to the churches. 9 out of 10 churches in the world today don't resemble that church in Galilee whatsoever. 9 out of 10 of them don't have a democracy in the church. And yet democracy fails. Why does democracy fail? Because we're sinners. In the book of Judges, it said every man did that which was right in his own eyes. America's in a lot of trouble today with God. A lot of trouble with God. If you lived in the state of California, which we don't now, one reason why we left California, and now even in church schools are trying to pass a law that even in church schools you have to teach that homosexuality is an alternative, okay, valid lifestyle. Homosexuality is a real problem. It's rampant in our day. It was rampant in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. The book of Revelation talks about it. Romans, the first chapter, talks about it. We see this as a real problem today. It's a real problem. California is probably one of the most liberal states in the Union today. They're the leaders, they say, in all things. The leader. The leader in ungodliness. One of the leaders in crime. Drug abuse. Taxing the people to death. Supporting immorality. Crime. Making crime look like it's right. The churches today are entertainment centers and kind of like what you call the happy hour. The happy hour. Entertainment centers and the happy hour. Churches are trying to reach people on their own level. Pastors are taking their coats off and rolling up their sleeves. And you see that on the internet. You see it on all over the place. They want to make their churches user-friendly. They want to make them entertainment centers. Entertainment centers. I talk to people in large churches sometimes. Large churches get that way because they lower the standards. We don't want to make a difference between the Catholics, and we don't want to make a difference between the charismatics, and we don't want to offend anybody. So we just blend in. Happy hour. How did this all start? The happy hour. This democracy that's failing today is because they want to reach people on their level. And there's nothing wrong about going out and evangelizing people. But I think we ought to be a little bit like the Amish and a little bit like the Mennonites. We ought to look different than the rest of the world. We ought to smell different than the rest of the world. We ought to talk different than the rest of the world. We ought to. Isn't that what the Lord tells us? Why? In 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, in 1 and 2 Corinthians, it tells us how to behave ourselves in the house of God. You go into some churches now, and once you go into the foyer. They forgot how to say foyer. It's a foyer. It's foyer, people. They go into the foyer, and what do you see in there? You see coffee and donuts and whatever. They take out their cushioned pews and put in chairs with a slick floor so they can spill their coffee and their Cokes or whatever they're drinking. Knock and lose the donut on the floor and step all over it. So it won't make a mess. You can take the chairs up and you can mop the floors. Think about that. What's wrong with that? People doing what's right in their own eyes. These are little democracies. The nuts are running the nut house. What happens when the nut runs the nut house? What happens when the nuts run the nut house?
More nuts.
It just goes to pieces, doesn't it? Goes to pieces. Think. Why democracy fails? Because we are sinners. We're saved by grace, and that at all. And God puts up with us so many times. Look how he put up with Abraham. Look how he put up with Adam and Noah. Look how God puts up with you and me. were ungodly in many ways. But his churches are to be holy. They're to be white and they're to be true. And this church is a disgrace in this age. This democracy, this Laodicea, is a disgrace in this age. We live in an age, especially here in America, where you can preach the truth. You can go to church. You can preach the truth, and sometimes we're threatened. I've been threatened. But you know what? We can go and preach the truth. And we can do it in a certain amount of safety. There's many countries in the world today where you can't speak that. And I'm going to tell you what, those Christian people behind those iron bars of Islam, Catholicism, or whoever is in the power there, those people, the Word of God is precious. I have known the works of you. I have known your energies. I know how you pastors work. I know what's in your pastor's mind. A church cannot ever rise above their pastor in all reality. They can't rise above him. Whatever he's got on his mind, if he's got pride on his mind, if he's got building a mega church, fame or whatever, well, these are all sins, aren't they? Did you hear that? They're all sins. We build churches for Jesus, not for us. Because those people belong to Jesus. And they don't need to be deceived into thinking that what they're doing is okay. They just come and join the church. Many people go to these Laodicea churches because it is an extension of their business. They get clients there. They're realtors. They're lawyers. They're doctors. Builders. They go there so they make contacts. Contacts. Laodicea. Democracy. I know your works. I know how you're spending your time. I know that you're cold or zealous. Look at that word, cold there. Cold. And neither hot. I wish you were cold or hot. The word hot there is zestos. They have a soap that's called Zest. They have different drinks that are called, have the word Zest in them. What it means is zealous. I wish you were zealous. Zealous for me, not for your own intentions. He said, I wish you were either cold, you kept on being, or hot. Well, when somebody is full of zeal, he's excited. I see Brother Brett. He's writing and putting together a book on Jehovah's Witnesses. You've heard him speak. You've seen him in my classes for the last 10 or 15 years. He's all excited about that Jehovah's Witness book. He wants to reach lives. He wants to shut the watchtower down. If people will only listen to the truth. But see, those are democracies, aren't they? Where each little person is a democracy. He's going to do away with what he wants to do. I sat with a woman one time, and I showed to her John 1 and 1, and she was a third or fourth generation Jehovah's Witness. When she got down there, I said, now read it to her, because she was a scholar in language, in the English language and the Spanish. And I just put down the grammar. I didn't put down what it says. I said, now translate that for me. Tell me what it says. I put down all the grammar there. And she translated it and she said, that's it. I said, is that what it is? Yeah, that's what it says. She said, in beginning kept on being the Word. And the Word kept on being proston theon toward God because the Word or the God kept on being the Word. And I said, that is a Hebraism. It means Jehovah. Okay. And she read that to me just like exactly what it's supposed to say. And then she turned white. She said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I'm a fourth generation Jehovah's Witness. I can't believe. I don't want to believe that. But I said, what does it say? Democracy. She's going to go on her own way. And she did. She did. She went her own way. In the age that we live in, man thinks he can solve his own religious problems, his own racial problems, his own psychological problems, his own political problems. I hear people say all the time, we will elect the man that God wants. Which one does he want? Elect the man, democracy. Elect the man that God wants. What's wrong with men? What's wrong with mankind? We're sinners. Democracies fail. Communism fails. Socialism fails. All of these things fail because of one thing. The sinfulness of man. All of them would work if it wasn't for the sin nature of man. But because of the sin nature of man, none of them work. Communism always fails because of greed. Republics always fail because of greed. Democracies always fail because of greed and sin. We have problems. We need to deal with the sin nature. We need to speak out against sin. We need to do that. I had a student one time that was an exceptional person. Brother Allen. Brother Allen was a politician. He was a Democrat. But I'm going to tell you what, he kept the Democrats in line, he kept the Republicans in line, didn't he, Marilyn? Yeah. When he died young, one of the leaders in the Republican Party and one of the leaders in the Democratic Party caught up and talked about that great man. He talked to those Republicans, he said, I don't know how you can be a Christian and be a Republican. Because of their statute. Then he'd say to the Democrats, I don't know how you can be a Democrat and be a Christian the way you do. He held her Moses to the grindstone. When he walked into the Senate, they knew who he was. When they walked into the House of Representatives, they knew who he was. When they walked into the Supreme Court, they knew who he was. One of the greatest men I ever knew. One of the greatest men I ever knew. He always stood for what was right. Not half right, not half wrong. He called the cards the way they were. And in any party, whether it's independent, Democratic, or Republican, if you do what is right, there wouldn't be any problem. What is right? Not what you want. Not what they want. I remember when Donald Trump was running for president. He ran for president ever since I was young. But he won the presidency. And you know what I liked about Donald Trump? The Democrats hated him and the Republicans hated him. I said, that's my man. You know why? Because he was going a different direction. He was going the way that he thought was right. Thought was right. Verse number 16. Thus in this manner, because lukewarm you are, kliaros, lukewarm you are, and neither zestos or sakros, neither hot nor or boiling or full of zest or cold. I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth, expel you. I can't stand you. You democracies, you communists, you socialists, I can't stand you. Do what I tell you. I tell you that a few times on America. Just do what I say. Sometimes it's very important, isn't it?
Yeah.
I said, quit thinking, just do what I tell you. Now that's an order. That sounds like an ogre, doesn't it?
You're right, too.
Yeah. Sometimes it's life-saving, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're in danger. I walked up to her one time and she was in real danger. She did not know it. I said, don't argue with me. Just do what I tell you. There was something about to bite her. I said, just go this way now. Without asking why, just do it. Well, we would do that. If we would do that according to the Word of God, we sure would be a lot healthier and a lot safer. I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. I can't stomach you anymore. You make me sick. Now, this church in Laodicea was a great medical center and a great banking center. They had everything that they thought. In America, we have the best doctors, they say. And we have all kinds of banking institutions and things here. Kind of like Laodicea, isn't it? Just like that. They were the leaders, they said. Poverty in your riches. You're poor in your riches. Now there's about 1,000 cross references here in Hosea 12 and 8, Zechariah 11 and 5, Matthew 5 and 3, 1 Corinthians 4 and 8. Because you are rich, you say. I have become super rich. I've become a millionaire, a trillionaire, billionaires. And nothing do I need. I don't have need for anything. I don't have need for you. I do a lot of work, don't I, Marilyn?
Yeah.
I work hard. I got two places I try to take care of. We went down to California the other day, and I think I slept 4 hours in 2 days. It was just, I was going constantly. And I went out there, and the pipeline, the water well pipeline, had broken, had been leaking for 6 months. And I had somebody that said he'd fix it, but he didn't know how. And I went out there and I said, we need to go get a bottle of acetylene. Why? I said, just go do it. Why can't we just go out there and try to screw that thing out? I said, just go do what I tell you. So we went and got a bottle of acetylene. And I had taken off coming back to Nevada, and I had left something behind that I had to go get. And I went back and get it, and here he was in the yard with a bottle of acetylene. So then I had to show him how to put the bottle of acetylene on the cutting torches and how to light a cutting torch. And then we got out, and he said, can't we just take it out? I said, it's been there for 50 years. We got to unweld it first. And he didn't understand because he's a young boy. But he did what I told him. We got a 36-inch pipe wrench and a 6-foot snipe or cheater that you put on the end of it, a pipe, to make it longer so you have more power and pull on it. Mm-hmm. We got down in that hole, dug that hole out, and we heated that thing up and heated that thing up until it was red hot. We heated the top and we heated the bottom, and we kept going all over. Then I got a hammer, and I said, take that hammer, hold one on one side, beat on it, and go around that thing. Unweld that pipe where it's been welded for 50 years. We finally did that. And all the time I'm doing this, I'm praying. Because I may have to replace this whole pipeline, which is about 25, 30 feet long, with a whole lot of problems between here, A and B. And I'm praying all the time. I'm praying all the time. Lord, let it break in the right place. Don't let it crush. Let it don't. Just please, Lord. I haven't got time for this. please let me get on the road. I got out there and he got pulling on. He said, well, we were pulling on this thing about 9 feet of a wrench. I'm holding the thing in place and he's pulling on, I'm pulling on. And it's a 2-inch pipe. And I'm praying all the time. I said, Lord, please, please, I need your help. Let it be okay. Let it come apart. Please. So we beat on it some more because it didn't move. Now I heated it up one more time. And I'm praying. He didn't know I was praying. I'm praying all the time. Man, he's a Christian boy. Anyway, we got out there and got it this time, and it broke loose in the right place. Exactly. I stopped right then. I said, wait a minute. This is the answer to prayer. Let us pray and thank God right now. And we did. He thought I was kind of funny doing that. I think that everything that we do ought to be in prayer. Mm-hmm. Let it happen in your life. Let it happen. Bring God into your life. Don't do what you want to do. Do what He wants you to do. We got it all apart and got it all back together. And it was just exactly an answer to prayer. I've had people work with me over the years, teaching things, and I'd pray. I'd be praying all the time that things would work out all right, and some things were almost impossible to come out all right. But when they did, I say, wait, let's pray. Because I've been praying for this. Now, I don't know whether that helped their faith or anything, but that's what I meant to do, and I meant to be thankful to my God. I wanted to show thanks to Him because He did answer those prayers. He will answer your prayers if you'll let Him in your life. Don't do things your way. Do things His way. And that way you'll know you're going in the right direction. Right in the center of His will. I have become super rich and I don't have need of anything. But He said, I want you to know this. You are wretched. You are talepodros. Wretched. You're a total mess. You're alive, but you are dead. You're pitiful. Elianos. You're to be pitied. You're in need of mercy. Had a man come to me one time. And he wanted to join the church. He said, I am a businessman. And I want to join the church. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know whether I believe in God or not. But I want to join the church. And I said, well, now why do you want to join the church? He said, because it would be financially advantageous to me. I can have a business card with a fish on it that I'm a Christian and I go to church. Now I will tithe and I will do all the things I need to do here, but just don't ask me to change my life at all. I want to do what I want to do. This is not a personal thing with God. This is a financial thing. And it's an advantage to me, and I want to be right up with you. You're the pastor of the church. I can vote to raise your salary. Whatever. I can put money in the offering to you can raise your salary. And I just said, well, that's quite a deal. Your riches have made you poor. Poor. Well, he went on ahead and joined the church. It was a Catholic church because they asked very little of him. And then he made business cards out that had a fish on them. And he did get more people. But I told him, no, thank you. Maybe under the preaching of God's word, maybe he would have been saved. But that wasn't why he was going there. Wretched, poor, and blind. The word poor there means a beggar. And blind. And naked. We need the righteousness of Jesus Christ on us. And he said, I counsel with you to buy from me gold. Real gold. Only what you do for Jesus will last. Each one of you out there has an opportunity to serve God. In your own way, in your own life, And I don't mean doing it your way, democracy, but doing it according to God's will. But you have abilities. You have certain abilities. Buy gold from me, having been refined by fire, in order that you may be rich, and you may have white garments, and you may be clothed about and not naked. You may be clothed about so you will not manifest your shame, your shame and nakedness. And buy eye salve from me. Remember, this was a big medical center. He said, all your medicine is not going to help you. You need to have eye salve from me so you can see straight. So you can see. Not like cross-eyed, but see. Don't see double, see single. In order that you may see single. For as many as I may love, I rebuke. And I spank up straight. And I want you to be zealous for me, therefore. And I want you to repent. There's no salvation without repentance. There's no salvation without a show of the change of your mind, your thinking, and your life. We are servants of whom we serve. We are servants of whom we serve, whether it be self or Satan or God. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man may hear me, look at that word, subjunctive mode there. It's up to you, people, whether you hear the word of God or not, or whether you follow it. Whether you hear my voice, he may open the door, and I shall enter with him. I shall dine with him, and he with me. Now, I know that this has been used as a personal thing, that you, God is knocking at your door's heart. No, he's not knocking at your door's heart, your heart's door. He's knocking at these churches, these democracies, doing it their own way. Do you want the Lord to come in your church and fellowship with you? Then you're going to have to do it his way. The one conquering I shall give to him to sit down with me in my throne. And I also, I conquered and I overcame, and I sat down with my Father in his throne. You know, we all have trouble, don't we? We all have troubles in life, don't we? Sickness, bad company, bad families, vicious people that we work with. Talk with a man today, and his wife was having such a terrible time. He was up here, and his wife is down someplace else, and he went to be with her to encourage her because she's being verbally beat up in her job. She needed him. Adversity is a great sparring partner. It either makes you or breaks you. Adversity is a great sparring partner. It makes you tough spiritually. It does. I wish I had this little thing with me that I'm going to tell you about right now. One of the greatest gifts that I ever got in my life was a gift that my grandmother gave me just before she was killed. She was my mother. She raised me. She loved me. The only body in this world that ever really loved me was my grandmother. And my sister was extremely spoiled and rotten and no good. Terrible, terrible, all to the day she died. And my grandmother, my mother would always be very angry. My sister got everything she wanted. But I got very little. I raised myself pretty much. My sister would sit down or would fall on the floor at dinner time and scream and holler for chili dogs and a banana split. We would be eating beans and maybe potatoes sometimes, mainly beans. My grandmother would not put up with that. She just said, "I can't believe you're putting up with this thing." She'd scream and holler, chili dogs, until we got through eating, and then my mother would get up and take her down and get her a chili dog and a banana split. She'd wait all day. She wouldn't eat all day long. She knew how to pull the strings because my mother loved her. She knew how to get what she wanted, and she did. My grandmother wanted to buy me something special. I love radio all my life. And they came out with transistor radios. Jefferson Travis, I think, was the name of it. And they had them down for sale for $56 or something like this. This is radio you get for a dollar today. She knew that I wanted a radio to listen to. I was building antennas, doing all kinds of stuff, trying to listen to. I had crystal radios and things. I love to listen to shortwave. She bought this little radio for me. Cost $50-something. She made $25 a week. That was over 2 weeks' wages that she paid for this radio for me. But to buy me a radio, she had to buy my sister a radio. So now we have over a month's wages, about probably 6 weeks' wages that she had to work to buy this. She bought one for me and she bought one for my sister. My sister just threw it away. She didn't care. Didn't mean anything to her. Easy come, easy go. I have that little radio today. One of my real good friends, it had quit working. He fixed it to where it plays today. Whether it played or not, I would cherish that gift. All the rest of my life, and my grandmother died 60 years ago. I love her as much today as I did then. Jesus Christ gives us a gift. You can throw that gift away like that reckless child did and don't care. Or you can cherish Jesus Christ as your Savior. The one having an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Pastors, that church is not yours. It's Jesus' church. It's not a brownie button for you. If the church grows and the church matures in Jesus Christ, it's Jesus' work. It's not yours. We only do what we're supposed to do. When we've done everything that we can do, we should say, "Lord, forgive me, for I am an unfaithful, useless servant." Let's read these verses one more time. "And to the angel, the church in Laodicea, democracy." You remember that. That's what the word means, democracy. "You write, I am the Amen, I am the faithful, I am the true witness, I am the beginning, I am actually the head of, the originator of, the source of all creation." He says, "I know your deeds, I know your works, I know your products of employment, I know how you spend your time, that you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were either cold or hot, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, and then you may become rich, and with white garments, and you may clothe yourself, and that your shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and the eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. This is a church now. If you remember what this Laodicea church, listen. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne, as I sat down, overcame, and sat down with my Father on his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This message is self-explanatory. Why democracy fails. Why doing your own thing fails. I remember when they came out with that wonderful song back in the 60s, I think it was, I Did It My Way. Yep, that's a democracy. Did it my way. We have a plain path to follow, written down in God's holy word. Donald Grewar said in a message that I preached here a while back, he said, that's God's word. He said, I know one thing. Whenever Dr. Jim preaches, he's going to be preaching God's word. Thank you, Donald, all the way over there in Wales. Thank all of you that make those messages, that make me realize that what I'm doing is touching lives, because that's what I'm commanded to do, is to touch your life with God's word. It is his word. It's not my word. And it is him that reaches out to you to try to touch your life, to lead you away in ways, the right ways of righteousness and truth. Know what you believe and know why you believe it, and then practice it for the glory of God. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message to you, for you. Father, let it shine. Let you be glorified with it, because you are the only one that has righteousness. You are the only one that possesses eternal life. Nothing we can do gain that doorway to you. Help us surrender our lives more every day. Help us to give more of our energies and of our wealth and our time to you. Help us to be zealous for you. And Father, please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.